Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello again and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Thanks for tuning in and it's great to have your company, and your reward will be some profound patter intermixed with some magic music. This programme is entitled Gems from My Jewel Box. I've selected a few highlights from my personal notebooks which I have kept ever since I was 16 years old. They're not diaries in the usual sense, on such and such a date I did this or that, but they are collections of little gems which I've picked up here and there, and wee inspirations which I've written myself. We all get inspired now and then, but if we don't write it down immediately, we lose the seed thought forever. So I try to catch the snowflakes of inspiration before they melt away. It's something special to be able to read my own thoughts from the age of 16. How many folk can remember exactly what they were thinking when they were a teenager? But more than my own thoughts, I've also collected poems and quotations and little gems of inspiration by many other people. So now I have multiple notebooks packed full of anecdotes and illustrations and these gems, just like people keep their jewellery in a jewel box. My collection is very special to me, and I've always kept it private and guarded it very jealously. But right now, in this programme, and perhaps in others to come, I want to share some of these gems from my jewel box. So let's get started. Here's an interesting item from the Reverend Marjorie Mackay, a minister from Millport. It's about flying geese. Think about this. The next time you see geese heading south for the winter, flying in a V formation, know that science has discovered why they fly in this way. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately following it. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds at least 70% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. And she comments, Christians who share a common direction and a sense of unity can get where they're travelling on the thrust and uplift of each other. Whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the draft and the resistance of trying to go it alone, and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the uplifting power of the bird in front. And if we're as wise as a goose, we'll stay in formation with those who are on the same journey of faith as we are. When the lead goose gets tired, it rotates to the back of the formation, and another goose takes the lead. It's good to notice when someone else gets tired, and take turns doing the many jobs that need attention in the church. The geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. What are we saying when we honk from behind? And finally, when a goose gets sick or is wounded and falls out of formation, two other geese fall out of formation and follow it down to help it and protect it. They stay with it till it's able to fly again, and then, together, they catch up with the original formation. If people knew we would stand by them like that in the church, they'd be queuing up to get in. Isn't this the picture that we, as God's people in this place, would want to keep on projecting? And here is John Denver, a keen pilot himself, singing about flying.
Well, I guess that you probably know by now I was one who wanted to fly. I wanted to ride on that arrow of fire right up into heaven. And I wanted to go for every man, every child, every mother of children. I wanted to carry the dreams of all people right up to the stars. and I prayed that I'd find an answer there. Or maybe I would find a song giving a voice to all of the hearts that cannot be heard. And for all of the ones who live in fear, and all of those who stand apart, my being there would bring us a little step closer together. They were flying for me, they were flying for everyone. They were trying to see the brighter day for each and every one. They gave us their light, they gave us their spirit and all they could be. They were flying for me. They were flying for me.
And here are some gems with a very upbeat, high-flying, cheerful note. These are 10 Steps to Happiness by the former government happiness czar, Richard Layard. 1. Giving. If you want to feel good, do good. Helping other people makes us happier and healthier. 2. Relating. Close relationships with family and friends provide love, meaning, support, and increase our feelings of self-worth. 3. Exercising. Being active instantly improves mood and can even lift depression. 4. Appreciating. Ever thought that there must be more to life? Well, there is, and it's right in front of you. Notice the world about you. Be mindful of your feelings and stop dwelling on the past or worrying about the future. 5. Trying out. Learning new things gives you a sense of accomplishment. 6. Direction. Goals motivate, but they need to be challenging and achievable. 7. Resilience. You can't often choose what happens to you, but you can choose your attitude to what happens. Resilience can be learned. 8. Emotion. Recent research shows that regular experiencing of joy, gratitude, and pride creates an upward spiral, so focus on the glass half full. 9. Acceptance. Dwelling on flaws makes it much harder to be happy. We have to learn to accept ourselves, warts and all, and be kinder to ourselves when things go wrong. And 10. Meaning. People who have purpose in their lives, whether it's religious faith, being a parent, or doing a job that makes a difference, feel more in control and get more out of what they do. Or here's another reading. I am thankful. I am thankful for the husband who complains when his dinner is not on time, because he's home with me and nowhere else. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay, for that means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the mess to clean up after a party, because it means I've been surrounded by friends. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I've had enough to eat. I'm thankful for the lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill, because it means I am warm. I'm also thankful for the pile of laundry, because it means I have clothes to wear, for the weariness and aching muscles, because it means I've been capable of working hard. And I'm thankful for the lady in the church who sings off-key, because it means I can hear. Or how about this one? How to observe Thanksgiving. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. And one last one. Life is a gift. Today, before you say an unkind word, think of someone who can't speak. Before you complain about the taste of your food, think of someone who has nothing to eat. Before you complain about your husband or wife, think of someone who's crying out to God for a companion. Today, before you complain about life, think of someone who went too early to heaven. And before whining about the distance you drive, think of someone who walks the same distance with their feet. And when you're tired and complain about your job, think of the unemployed, the disabled, and those who wish they had your job. And when depressing thoughts seem to get you down, put a smile on your face and think, you're alive and still around. The attitude of gratitude is a wonderful thing. Have you got it? Petula Clark certainly has it. You're listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM, and I'm sharing with you today gems from my jewel box. So here's a further three little writings I've written in my own personal diary. Just as some people get periodic pangs of grief, some people also get occasional waves of happiness. Maybe we all get both. Today I was in the middle of broadcasting on radio, well, recording a radio programme to be more precise. When I was speaking, I got a gentle, warm feeling of pure happiness. It was just a brief moment, but it was a feeling of joy and contentment that washed over me. The duck was in his pond, splashing happily. I've even had such a moment in the middle of conducting a funeral, would you believe? Well, it takes all types. And here's one I wrote, "Smile, God loves you." The whole country seems to be getting depressed. The news is full of austerity, recession, unemployment, cutbacks to benefits, and corruption by bankers, priests, the media, politicians, you name it. Drip, 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 the psychological effect is depression. A policeman said to me this week that he's amazed at how many teenagers, maybe 17 to 19-year-olds, he meets who are depressed, saying things like, "What's the point? There are no jobs anyway." He himself is depressed by what he sees as a policeman, by his low pay, bad neighbours, long hours, irregular shifts, hectic schedule, and so on. Today, my nephew is depressed by university life. He gets no grants, only debts. He's in his mid-20s, still living with his parents by necessity. He's tried getting jobs with no success. He's an honours graduate, and he still can't get a job. And these are young people in the prime of their life. Getting depressed. What hope for the rest of us? Sometimes we need to take a step back and look again at our situation. Sometimes we have to fire our retro rockets and realign our trajectory. Sometimes we have to pause to smell the roses. Sometimes we have to count our blessings and name them one by one and remind ourselves of what the Lord has done, as the chorus says. Britain is still the 7th biggest economy in the world, but we keep talking poverty. We worry about electricity and gas bills. The people in Malawi don't. They don't have the electricity and the gas. We worry about mortgages when others don't have a roof over their head. The Catechism says man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Jesus said, "I tell you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy complete." Jesus said, "I came to give you life in all its fullness." So, smile. God loves you. Life can be fun. We perform better when we're more relaxed. So relax a little. Let God be God. Let God handle the God-sized bits. Enjoy his love and grace and life. And one last one here. I am so blessed. I must be one of the most blessed people in the world ever. I say that for many reasons. I have a very lovely wife. We married 25 years. I've been ordained for about 35 years, doing what I was designed and destined to do. The right peg in the right hole. For instance, I've just drawn up a list of 25 things I have to do this week. All 25 are things I really like to do. None of them are dreaded. In fact, I would want to do them even if I was unemployed. My work this week includes making radio programs, preaching, a new members class, adult Christian education, YouTube videos, a website, thoughts for the day, creative writing. So if we could all just smile and relax and be the peg in its hole and enjoy the life that God gives us. Here's Martina McBride. She feels blessed.
By the sun each morning, put my feet on a hardwood floor. I get to hear my children laughing down the hall through the bedroom door. Sometimes I sit on my front porch swing, just soaking up the day. I think to myself, this world is a beautiful place. I have been blessed, and I feel like I found my way. I thank God for all I've been given at the end of every day. I have been blessed with so much more. Love is a beautiful gift.
We are really blessed in our modern high-tech age, but sometimes old fogies like me get a bit frustrated with all the technology and the gadgets, and we use the word blessed in another sense, like that blessed computer's on the blink again. Listen to a couple of gems on that line. Did Jesus use a modem? Did Jesus use a modem at the Sermon on the Mount? Did he ever try a broadcast fax to send his message out? Did the disciples carry beepers as they went about their chores? Did Jesus use a modem as he knocked upon the doors? Did Paul use a laptop with lots of RAM and ROM? Were his letters posted on a BBS at paul.rome.com? Did the man from Macedonia send an email saying, come? Did Paul use a laptop to tell of what he'd done? Did Moses use a joystick at the parting of the sea and a satellite tracking system to show him where to be? Did he write the law on tablets, or are they really on CD? Did Moses use a joystick at the parting of the sea? Did Jesus really die for us one day upon a tree? Or was it just a hologram or technical wizardry? Can you download a replay to show you on PC? Did Jesus really die for us one day upon a tree? Have the wonders of this modern age made you question what is true? How a single man in simple time could offer life anew? How a sinless life, a cruel death, then a glorious life again, could offer more to a desperate world than all the gains of men? If in your life the voice of God is sometimes hard to hear, with other voices calling, his doesn't touch your ear, then set aside your laptop and all your fancy gear, open up your Bible and let your Father near. And here's a prayer to God.com. Dear Lord, every single evening as I'm lying here in bed, this tiny little prayer keeps running through my head. God bless all my family, wherever they may be. Keep them warm and safe from harm, for they're so close to me. And God, there's one thing more I wish that you could do. Hope you don't mind me asking, please bless my computer too. Now I know that it's unusual to bless a motherboard, but just listen a second while I explain it to you, Lord. You see, that little metal box holds more than odds and ends. Inside those small compartments rest so many of my friends. I know so much about them by the kindness that they give, and this little scrap of metal takes me in to where they live. By faith is how I know them, much the same as you. We share in what life brings, and from that our friendships grew. Please take an extra minute from your duties up above to bless those in my address book that's filled with so much love. Wherever else this prayer may reach, to each and every friend, bless each email inbox and each person who hits send. When you update your heavenly list on your own great CD-ROM, bless everyone who says this prayer, sent up to God.com. Amen. Here's Chris DeBarg, worried about some difficulties with his communications.
Ship to shore, do you read me anymore? This line is bad and fading. Ship to shore, answer my call. Send me a signal, a beacon to bring me home.
On the meaning, you must be.
Our last few gems are to do with Psalm 23 and modern gadgets. This is the 23rd Psalm of television. The TV is my shepherd, I shall not want. It makes me lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from the faith, it destroys my soul. It leads me to the path of sex and violence for the advertiser's sake. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of Christian responsibilities, there will be no interruption, for TV is with me. Its cable and remote control, they comfort me. It prepares a commercial for me in the presence of my worldliness. It anoints my head with humanism and commercialism, and my coveting runneth over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house watching TV forever. And here's the last one. Psalm 23 for tech heads. The Lord is my programmer, I shall not crash. He installed his software on the hard disk of my heart. All of his commands are user-friendly. His directory guides me to the right choices for his name's sake. Even though I scroll through the problems of life, I will fear no bugs, for he is my backup. His password protects me. He prepares a menu before me in the presence of my enemies. His help is only a keystroke away. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and my file will be merged with his and saved forever. Amen. Well, our holy half hour is now up, so thank you for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed gems from my jewel box. And I leave you with Catherine Jenkins singing Psalm 23.
Just